Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. When he appeared to Abram and he said, I am Almighty God, that name, Almighty God, in the Hebrew language is the word El Shaddai or El Shaddai. And it means this, it means the all-sufficient one. It means the God who is more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. More than enough. Hallelujah. He said, I am El Shaddai. You know, a lot of times folks think that he's El Cheapo. No. Right. Or they think that he's El, as Brother Jerry O'Dell says, El Nick of Time. Sometimes he is El Nick of Time. He comes through just in the nick of time. But he's not just the one who's barely enough or not quite enough. He wants us to know that he's the one who's more than enough. God, when he revealed himself to Abram, Abram didn't know much about this God that he was beginning to communicate with. And he said, I want you to know something about me, Abram. I'm the all-sufficient one. I'm the God who's more than enough. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then in John chapter 10, verse 10, this is out of the Amplified Bible. Here's what Jesus said many generations later when he was walking on the earth. Jesus said this, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. He's talking about Satan there, right? But then he said, I came. Why did Jesus come? Well, he tells us right here why he came to the earth. He said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Hallelujah. I like that. Jesus said, I came. He said, the thief has come. Satan has come. The only thing he's going to do in your life, if you give him place and if you allow him to, the only thing he's going to do is steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they, who's the they that he's talking about? That's all of us, isn't it? I have come that they, that all of us may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Again, he's not the God who's just barely enough. He's not the, as I've said before, he's not the Brill Cream God. And many of you probably don't know what Brill Cream is. If you're over 55, and I'll be 54 in a few days here, but if you're in that age range and you remember Brill Cream, now I never used Brill Cream. It was going out of style as I was starting to grow hair. But Brill Cream was a hair dressing, and their saying was, a little dab will do you. Does anybody remember that? Hearing that? A little dab will do you. Well, God is not like that. Jesus is not, I'm just going to give you a little dab and that'll do you. No, he's a God of abundance. I want to talk to you this morning about the God of abundance. And I want you, the purpose of this is I want you to see God for who he is. Now there's some, I want to give you some practical application or some steps at the end of the message of how we can walk in that. But I want you just to allow the Word of God this morning to penetrate your mind and help you have the proper, help you see God the way he really is. Amen. That he's a God of abundance. Amen? Amen? Now, when we hear the word abundance, usually a lot of times the first thing that we think about is, oh, he's talking about money again. He's talking about finances. Well, part of that abundance is financial abundance, but the abundance that God has for us and intends for us, it's much broader, it's much bigger than mere financial prosperity. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, he said, I've come that they might have life. The word life there, we referred to it earlier, the word life there, in the Greek word, it's zoe. It's the God kind of life. It's the God kind of life. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received into yourself the life and nature of God. It's God's nature. He said, I'm come that they might have life. I'm come that they might have the nature of God, that they might have life, and that they would have it not just in a small measure, not just a little taste of it, but in abundance, to the full until it overflows. Amen. that Peter, the Apostle Peter, had gotten an understanding of that and a revelation of that just after the resurrection of Jesus, just after his ascension, and then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And then we read in the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are walking into, going into the temple to pray, and on the way in, they find a lame man. Remember the story? And Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have." He said, "But what I do have and what you need," we could read into that. Silver and gold wouldn't help that guy. He was a lame man. He was there begging. People felt sorry for him. Well, we don't need just to feel sorry for people. There's nothing wrong. It's all right to feel sorry for them, but I don't like just to pity someone. I don't like just to feel, "Oh man, isn't that bad? I'm so sorry." And I don't want to leave somebody like that. Do you? No. Well, thank God we don't have to. If we have this life, Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life, that they may have and enjoy life and have it till it overflows." Amen. Well, that means there's enough of it, not just for you, but there's enough of it for other people, for you to extend it out to other people. And so Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have," everybody say, "What I have." He had something. "What I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man was healed. He'd been lame from birth, and he was healed that day. Hallelujah. Why? Because of an overflow of the life of God. Because Peter had gotten a revelation. Hey, this God that I serve, this Jesus that I follow, is a God of abundance. And the God you serve today and the Jesus we follow today is a God of abundance. He's not a God of scarcity and lack, but a God of abundance. And he wants you to know that this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, again, there's several areas. As I said, it's much, much bigger than as you can already see, it's much bigger than material or financial prosperity. First of all, God has given us an abundant salvation. He's given us an abundant salvation. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all," look at this word now, "the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him." This is the salvation that we've got. Romans 10 is talking about salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is the scripture we use to lead someone to Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so he says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the next verse, verse 13. And in here he says, "The same Lord overall." There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. In other words, it's available for everybody. It says, "The same Lord overall is rich to all who call upon Him." He's rich. In the another translation, it says, "He bestows His riches generously to all who call upon Him." Hallelujah. Our God is a God of abundance, beloved. Amen. Let me read you. This is not in, wasn't in my notes that I turned in for them to put up on the in the computer, so we might not get this on the screen. But let me read you. Let me read you this scripture. It's in Titus. I'm not going to be bound by the notes that I turn in to them for the computer. Amen. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So he's provided for us an abundant salvation. And He's also given us abundance of grace. Romans 5, verse 17. Look at this verse. It says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one," that's talking about Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, that sin nature came into them, and it passed down through all humanity. We all, unfortunately, we partook of that sin nature. "And by one man's offense, death reigned through the one." Much more. Everybody say, "Much more." Much more. Oh, I like that, "much more." "Much more, those who receive" what? "Abundance of grace." What kind of grace? Abundance. How much grace? abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And a few verses later, Paul writes there and he says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's abundance of grace. The Apostle Paul talked about it in his own life. He talked about the grace of God working in his life. He said, I was a blasphemer. I persecuted the church. But the abundant grace of God, his grace was exceedingly abundant toward me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. So he gives us an abundant salvation. He gives us an abundance of grace. And then here's another aspect of this. He gives you abundance in your soul. Abundance in your soul. And this is really the verse that got me. I was planning on heading another direction with the message this morning. I sat down yesterday morning in my office at home to begin to prepare. And I read this verse, actually before I started studying for the message. And I read this verse, and this is what got me going. The Holy Spirit just took me in this direction as I read this. Psalm 63 and verse 5. Look at this. Psalm 63 verse 5. It says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now, imagine that, getting inspired over those words. But I did. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Now, here's what inspired me. I looked in the margin of my Bible, and where it said fatness, it was the word abundance. Abundance. You know, in our culture today, fatness has a negative connotation. But he's talking about abundance. Amen. Amen. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and abundance. The Message Bible looked at it and it said, I'll be satisfied with prime rib and gravy. What's he talking about? What he's talking about is like a good meal. Yeah, you know, a good meal will satisfy your stomach. You know, don't you? After you've eaten a good meal, don't you just feel satisfied? You know, you've not eaten too much to feel, but you just feel satisfied. You know that feeling? Well, like a good meal satisfies your stomach, the goodness of God will satisfy your soul. You won't be, you know, after you eat a good meal, you're not, you know, if you don't eat enough, if you don't eat a good meal, if it's just something, it's not. And 30 minutes later, you're going to the pantry, aren't you? Or the refrigerator. What else can I have to kind of just, you know, knock the edge off here? Well, you know, spiritually speaking, if you're trying to find satisfaction elsewhere, you're always going to be hungry. You're always going to be looking. You're always, well, that, you know, I thought this would satisfy me, but that didn't do it. And then I tried that, but that didn't do it. But thank God, God gives us abundance in our soul. Hallelujah. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, abundance, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 55, he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Who is this abundance available to? Everybody that's thirsty, and everybody, even if you have no money. In other words, no one is disqualified. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Now, he's talking spiritually here, isn't he? He's talking in your soul, isn't he? And he says, you can't buy with money something that's going to satisfy your soul. He says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the opposite of abundance, or that word in the New King James and the King James, fatness, would be and is leanness, isn't it? Leanness. That'd be the opposite. And the opposite of abundance is leanness in the Scripture. Look at this. Consider this verse, Psalm 106. We'll read three verses here, starting verse 13. And Psalm 106, verse 13, it says, they soon, this is talking about, if you read Psalm 106, it's talking about when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and what the succeeding situations and circumstances and trials and as they came out of Egypt. And the psalmist is recounting their history. And in verse 13, it says, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That's the very opposite of abundance in their soul. He said he sent leanness into their soul. And so here, look at what happened to them. And the same thing would apply to us today. If we forget God's works, that's what they did. First thing, they forgot his works. They forgot what God had done for them. And he had done some great things for them. They forgot that. And it says they did not wait for his counsel. So if we forget his works and we reject his counsel, and it says they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Remember what they said? Remember the account there? He's feeding them with manna. And they said, well, our soul loathes this worthless food. Give us meat to eat. And God said, all right, if that's the way you want it. And he gave them quail. It says he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So if we forget God's works, if we reject his counsel, and if we demand our own way, we're going to miss out on the abundance that he's planned for us. We're going to experience leanness. And leanness is not good. Leanness is good. You know, I want to be a lean, mean machine. That's all in our culture, that's promoted. But this kind of leanness you don't want. It means lack. It means never having enough in every area of your life. Never being satisfied in every area of your life. Also, the opposite of abundance, we could say, is scarcity. Scarcity. That's and it seems like our world is operating in that mentality, doesn't it? Not with a mentality. And a lot of times the church, you know, as Christians, we fall into that same mentality. That's why the Bible tells us, don't be conformed to this world in your thinking. Amen? Yeah. But be transformed. It's easy to tune into the news and all that and operate with a scarcity mentality. Right. And scarcity, what that produces is fear that you're going to run out, doesn't it? That's a scarcity mentality. That's a mindset that's not aware, that doesn't have a revelation of the abundance of God. And that our God is a God of abundance. And that God provides abundantly for his people.
Yes, amen.
Amen. The opposite of that mindset is a scarcity mentality, a lack mentality, a mentality that we're going to run out. And our world operates with that. We're running out of resources. Yeah. Remember way back when Jimmy Carter was president, you know, we had an energy crisis. You know, some of you are too young to remember that, but I have some memories of it. I was a teenager in the Carter years, so I remember a little bit about that. And so he came on TV and he had a big sweater on, you know, speaking from the White House, and he said, let's all turn our thermostats down to 65 and just put a few sweaters on. We'll be all right. We'll make it through this, folks. That way he was operating out of a scarcity mentality. There were lines. Remember the lines at the gas stations? We experienced that for a few weeks in what was it, 2008? 2008. With the financial upheaval there in the fall of 2008. But, you know, there were lines, you know, at the gas stations then. And it was, guess what? We still haven't run out of oil, have we? That was in the 1970s. Here we are 40 years later. And they're telling us that we've got more oil here in the United States now than even in the foreign countries, in the Middle East. Imagine that. We were bone dry in the 70s, and now here we got more than we know what to do with. That ought to tell you something, folks. And part of these crises are just contrived by people that want to manipulate and control things anyway. Hello? So we're running out of resources. We're running out of space. You know, these people talk about, you know, these guys that are so far out there. You know, we need population control because we're running out of... Let me give you some facts about that. Did you know, my son Travis was telling me this the other day, that everybody on the planet could fit inside the state of Texas. Yep. Now, not just shoulder to shoulder. Everybody could fit inside the city of Jacksonville, Florida, shoulder to shoulder. Everybody on the planet. Yeah. Think about that. Let's move them all down there, and then we have plenty of space. I'm teasing. Everybody could fit inside the state of Texas with the same population density as New York City. Now, the population is pretty dense in New York City, the population density is. But, I mean, people live there comfortably. And the whole planet, all the people on the planet could be. Now, Texas is a big state, but if you look at it in scope of how big the planet is, it's not that big. All the people on the planet could live there comfortably, just like they live in New York City. Isn't that amazing? Are we running out of space? Do we need population control? Absolutely not. That's just a demonically inspired idea to kill off human beings. Amen. And you know, the earth is actually getting greener. There was something that came, wherever they measure this at, there's actually more vegetation. We're not destroying it. Now, I'm for conservation. I'm for reasonable conservation. You know, the people that are in charge of all this stuff now are so far out there and so extreme. You know, they worship the creation. That's their God. Amen. I recycle every piece of plastic and aluminum and cardboard that comes into my house. 99% of it gets recycled. So I'm for that. And all of that, and we need to be a good stewards over the planet. I'm certainly for that. But folks, we're not running out. Our God He created this with abundance. Amen. See, but that's the mindset of the world. When you take God out of the equation, then you lose that perspective. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, far more, here's one more fact, far more bananas fall to the ground and rot than are ever harvested by humans or monkeys. Why'd God make so many of them? Because He's a God of abundance. He could have put 50 or 100 stars out there when He created the heavens and the earth. But He created billions of them. We don't know how many are out there. Why did He do that? Because He's a God of abundance. Amen. The design of nature, the design of creation is abundance, folks. It's not scarcity. It's not just enough. It's abundance. Look at plant life. Look at seeds. I'm pulling weeds out of my yard, and some of those weeds have 1,000 seeds on them. And I say, this ain't fair. And I try. Some of them, they're just ready to drop, you know. And I'm trying very carefully to pull that. You're not going to drop in my yard and come up. Yeah. But that's how, you know, the weeds came in with the fall, I think. But anyway, I think they did. But all plant life is like that. You harvest an ear of corn. Look at all the kernels of corn on that thing. God created it for abundance. Look at this scripture talking about the some of the animal life and the marine life in Genesis 1, 20 and 21. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. How many of you know there are? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Brian, hallelujah. Let's go get them. Let's have that fish fry. Yeah. Amen. And let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures. And every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded. Everybody say abounded. Abounded. The waters abounded with these things according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen. Amen. So folks, what I'm telling you is we should operate with an abundance mentality, not with a scarcity mentality, not with a lack mentality. Now again, there's a balance on the other side. Certainly we need to be good stewards of our resources, good stewards of our finances and all of that. And there's certainly a place for that. There's certainly a side of that that's true. But we should have the mentality that our God is a God of abundance, and that He abundantly supplies, and He has abundantly created, and He will abundantly satisfy you and me. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the scripture we read earlier in Exodus 34 and verse 6, where it talks about God when Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And he said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering. And he says this about himself, abounding in goodness and truth. Amen. Abounding in goodness. In other words, he has an abundance of goodness and truth. Amen. That's who he is. That's his nature. In Psalm 37, verse 11, it tells us we can have an abundance of peace. This is a big one. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, and that's a little bit different if you think about that picture than what the picture is in your life or in your home or whatever. And you find that, well, I just like to have just a minute's, anybody ever heard that phrase, a minute's peace? Just give me a minute's peace. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? Just give me a minute's peace. Well, God didn't want you to have just a minute's peace. He wants you to have 24 hours, 7 days a week, you know, 60 minutes in an hour, whatever, 60 seconds in a minute, all of that. Peace every day, throughout the day. 24/7, 365. Not just a moment's peace. The meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. He's a God of abundance. Hallelujah. I like this part. I don't know about you, but I sure thank God for this. He has an abundance of mercy. Too many scriptures for us to look at this morning, but many, many places in the scripture we read this about God, that he is abundant in mercy. Abundant in mercy. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said this in the book of Lamentations. He says, Lord, your mercies are what? New every morning. Fresh supply of mercy every morning. Hallelujah. God doesn't look in the mercy bin and say, whoa, it's running low. Every night it fills back up. Every morning there's a fresh supply of his mercy. Hallelujah. I believe every aspect of God is new every morning. There's a fresh supply every morning. Oh, praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to this. Isaiah 55, verse 7, he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will, oh, yes, he will abundantly pardon. What does that mean? That means that he will take the vilest sinner, the person that is so lost and so far away from him, and he will come in with his mercy and with his grace and with the blood of Jesus, and with his, and he'll breathe into them his life and turn them into a trophy of grace and turn them into a saint of God and turn them into even a minister of his. Amen? Hallelujah. He will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. How many of you've experienced this abundant pardon in your own life? He will abundantly pardon. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't just pardon you enough just to, well, we're going to give you a partial pardon. A partial pardon. That means you're, you know, you're still pretty much goofed up, but, you know. No, he abundantly pardons. Amen? Now, God's plan for his people is to bring us out of trouble and oppression and into abundance. Listen, consider these scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. He says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. What kind of land? A good land. He's talking to the children of Israel after they've come out of Egypt. See, it wasn't his plan just to bring them out of Egypt, but to bring them into the promised land, right? God brings you out so he can bring you into. Yes. Hallelujah. And so he says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley. It bothers me to see these, you know, when they try to recreate these Bible stories on TV, and everything's out in the desert. I don't think it couldn't have looked like that. Not according to the description we have in the Scripture. Well, Pastor, some of that looks like that now. Well, yeah, because, you know, unregenerate man's been a hold of, you know, had a hold of it and been in control of it, and they've messed it up. Amen. But look at what God said. I'm bringing you into this land. He said, of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Now, this is symbolic as well as for them. It was literal and natural. But here, and this was for the children of Israel in a type and shadow. For us, God is saying, I want to bring you into a good land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. In other words, where you'll walk in abundance in every area of your life. Oh, beloved, please, please let this penetrate your thinking and your consciousness this morning and get this. Amen. A land where in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Amen. That's what God has for you and for me today. That's where He wants us walking. That's what He wants us enjoying and living in today. Amen. Hallelujah. You will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Hallelujah. That was His plan. And in type and shadow that for them, and in type and shadow, that's His plan for you and me today. Hallelujah. He's the God of abundance. Psalm 66, verse 12. He says, you have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but, everybody say but. Oh, thank God the story doesn't end with the fire and the water. And your, listen. Your story doesn't end with we went through fire and water. Your story doesn't end there, Charlene. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Amen. The New Living Translation says you brought us out to a place of great abundance. The King James says you brought us out to a wealthy place. The Message Bible says you brought us out to this well-watered place. That's God's intended end for you. You know the story of Job. I like what it says about him in the book of James. Job went through fire and water and went through tragedy and bad things. But in the end, the Bible says God gave Job twice as much as he had before. And he had a lot to begin with. But God gave him, he said, for, to make up for what you've been through these last 9 months, I'm just going to give you twice as much as. Did he need it? I didn't need any more. If he'd have got half of what he had before, he'd have been rich. But God said, I'm going to give you twice as much as what you had before. Amen. Praise God. That's His heart. Yes, amen. That's who He is. Yes. Amen. The Living Bible of that Psalm 66:12 says, you sent troops to ride across our broken bodies. We went through fire and flood. But in the end, everybody say, in the end.
In the
end. Hallelujah. In the end, you brought us out into wealth and great abundance. And James says about Job, he says, you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord. So what happened, listen, what happened to Job, what God planned and what God intended, we find at the end of the book of Job. The devil intended something else for Job. But we see Job stayed with it and persevered, and he experienced the end intended by the Lord. The end intended by the Lord in your life is abundance. He brought us out to a wealthy place. He brought us out to a well-watered place. He brought us out to a place of rich fulfillment, of great abundance. That's the end intended by the Lord. Hallelujah. So how do we do this? How do we live? How do we access this? How do we live in this abundance? Well, number one, make Jesus your Lord and follow Him. That's very simple, isn't it? There's a preface. Before number one, it's begin to allow this abundance mentality to permeate your thinking. That's where it really starts. Begin to see God for what His Word reveals, as we're showing it to you this morning, for who He is as a God of abundance. Not a God that withholds, but a God of abundance. He said in the book of Psalms, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen. Hallelujah. So begin to see that he's a God of abundance, not a God of lack. No good thing, said in Psalms, will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen? He's not withholding. He's a God of abundance. Hallelujah. So then, off of that, then number one, make Jesus your Lord and follow him, because Jesus said in John 10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You want to get out from under his authority. You want to get out from under the lordship of the devil. You want to get out from under the dominion of Satan, the dominion of darkness, because the only thing that's going to result from that is stealing, killing, and destroying. But Jesus said, I've come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in full measure till it overflows. Hallelujah. So make Jesus your Lord. And then once Jesus is your Lord, then you're authorized to take authority over the devil and say, devil, you're not going to steal, kill, or destroy from me. I'm going to have the abundance that God ordained for me. Get your hands off of my life. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's number one. Then number two is this. Walk in God's paths. Walk in God's paths. What do you mean by that? Psalm 65, verse 11. Psalm 65, verse 11. Look at this. You crown the year with your goodness. Look at this now. And your paths, everybody say God's paths. Your paths drip with abundance. I love that word picture. God's paths are just, they're just so loaded and so full that abundance is just dripping. His paths drip with abundance. So when I'm walking in God's paths, those paths drip with abundance. I'm going to be experiencing his abundance. How do I walk in God's paths? Well, number one, I walk in his word, right? I walk in the revelation of his word. As Pastor Carl said during the offering, I want to be a man like David, a man after God's own heart who will do all the will of God. I'm going to follow his word. And I'm going to endeavor to whatever he reveals to me about what his plan is for my life. I'm going to endeavor to follow that, because that is the path and the place of abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He's a God of abundance. And his paths drip with abundance. So walk in his paths. Amen. Look at this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing. The first few verses are the blessings, and then the rest of the chapter is the curses. All right? Blessings for following the Lord, walking with him. Curses. Now, we know that in the New Testament, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, thank God, so that we can walk in the blessing. But if we choose to step out from under that blessing place, that curse is out there. And it's not that God is putting a curse on anyone, but that curse is operating in the earth. And if we step out from under the protection, step out from under Jesus in that place of protection, then we can experience the curse. God doesn't have that for us. It's not his intention. He wants us walking in the blessing. But then in Deuteronomy 28, Moses is warning them. Now, this is part of the curse, is that if you choose not to follow the Lord, if you choose to live under this curse, here's what's going to happen. In verse 47, he says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Now, in other words, he said the smart thing to do would just, serve God. Why? Because he's a good God. See, it's the devil that lies to people and says, well, now, if you follow God, you can't have anything. If you follow God, your life will be sad. If you follow God, your life will be restored. Those are all lies. That's all deception, delusion. Amen. Brother Keith Moore was talking about that this morning in his message. But he says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. So here's how this ought to work, and how God designed it to work, that he just fills our life with abundance. And in response to that, we have joy and gladness, and we say, Lord, yeah, I'd be a fool not to follow you. I'd be a fool not to walk with you. And we serve him with joy and with gladness. He says, but if you choose to walk this way, then you're rejecting that. He says, therefore, you shall serve your enemies. I don't know where he stands in his walk with the Lord right now, but back in the early 1980s, or maybe it's 1979, Bob Dylan got saved. Anybody remember that? You know who Bob Dylan is? Of course, famous musician and singer, composer, writer, songwriter. But he got saved. And I had his two albums, first two albums that he put out, and they were just awesome. And that the first album, Slow Train Coming, he had a song on there that says, "You're gonna have to serve somebody." Anybody ever heard that song? It may be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. That's the way Dylan sang it. And it's true, you're gonna have to serve somebody. And so he talked, and it's what he's talking about right here. He said, if you decide not to serve God, you can't just be out there, "Well, I'm just independent." No, you're not. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. He says, "Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything." That's the opposite of abundance, isn't it? God said, "You can serve me and enjoy the abundance of everything. That's my plan for you. But if you reject that, I'm not going to make you." He gave each of us a will. He gave each of it, made each of us what we call free moral agents. He said, "If you choose not to serve me, then fine. But here's what's going to happen. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Here's what you're going to have. Here's what's going to happen." He says, "You'll serve your enemies, and it'll be in hunger and in thirst and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he's destroyed you." They could have had God's best. They could have had abundance. But instead, they chose the curse. All right? So we don't want to do that. We want to look at that and read that and say, we're going to pass on that one. Amen. Amen. And finally, number three, put God's plan first. If you want to have abundance, if we want to walk in abundance, we're going to have to put God's plan first. Haggai chapter 1. Where's Haggai? What, somebody tell me what page that's on. Right before Zechariah? Yep. And it's on page 829. In my Bible, anyway. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 2. "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Now, let me give you a little background here. The children of Israel had been in captivity in Babylon, and then the succeeding empires that overtook Babylon for 70 years. And then because of the prophecy that Jeremiah had declared and God fulfilling his word, they were released from captivity, and they were given a commission by King Cyrus, "Go back and rebuild your temple in Jerusalem." And so the very purpose that they were released and sent back was to go back and rebuild the temple. And they get back there, and they start on it, but it gets hard. And they have opposition. Has it ever got hard? Anybody ever had opposition? It got hard. "Well, we can't do this. It's hard. We can't do this. We're being opposed." And so they said, "Well, it must not be God's timing." And so they said, "The time has not come that the Lord's house should be built." And so they forgot about the very reason they were sent back to begin with. And they said, "We're going to forget about that project. We're going to build our own houses. We're going to take care of our own families. And the work of God, that can come later. The temple of God, that can be built later. We got to get some things going in our own lives first." I mean, you understand that, don't you, Pastor? "I can't do anything for God right now. I mean, I got all this going on in my family." Well, I mean, there's maybe a place for that. We understand that, but they were putting their own things first instead of God's things. And they were saying, "The time has not come that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little." That's the opposite. That's lack, isn't it? That's the opposite of abundance. "You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." They're earning some money, but I mean, it's like that there's holes in that money bag. Have you ever felt like that in your life? Have you ever felt like that about your financial situation? Well, here's an answer. The same answer that he gave them. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Consider your ways. And then he tells them what to do. He says, get back to what I told you to do to begin with and put my project first, which was building the temple. Now, how does that correspond to us today? We're not, there's no temple, physical temple that is to be built for the house of God necessarily. But Jesus said, I'm building my church, and it's a spiritual house. And so the kingdom of God should be first place and priority in our lives. Jesus said it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. So they repented and they got that straightened out. And then in chapter 2, we read this. And I lost my place again. Haggai, come back. Where are you? There you are. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and now carefully consider from this day forward. Everybody say, from this day forward. From this day forward, from before the stone was laid, before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. What is that? That's lack and not abundance, isn't it? We expect there to be 20 there, and there was only 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail and all your labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. In other words, mark this down, because you're going to see a marked turnaround. He said, is the seed still in the barn? You hadn't even had time to sow the seed. You just made the adjustment in your heart. Dad Hagin said, God will bless you on credit. Just make the adjustment in your heart. Start right there. God sees your heart. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day I will bless you. Because they repented and they said, all right, God, we're going to put your stuff first. We're going to put your things first in our life. And he says, from this day, I'll bless you. And that situation was reversed when they were having lack and they were having not enough. God reversed it. God turned it around and brought them back into abundance. Amen. So if we want to live in abundance, we need to put God's things first. Amen. In the book of 2 Chronicles, we'll just look at two more scriptures real quick and then we'll be done here. 2 Chronicles 31. Everybody still doing all right? In 2 Chronicles 31, we find that King Hezekiah has led the people back to God. And then he noticed there that the priests and the Levites were not able to do their work, because the people had not been tithing and giving. And so he circulated a commandment. In verse 4 it talks about that the people would start bringing their tithes back in. And so they did that. It says in verse 7, it says, in the third month they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. I had this thought. I'm not saying this is God, but I'll throw it out to you and let you judge it. And it sure wouldn't hurt to try it. Maybe you're in here and you'd say, well, I've not been tithing because I've tried it before, but it just didn't seem like it worked for me, and I just don't know that I can afford to do that. Well, give it a try for 4 months. They started in the third month and they finished in the seventh. That's 4 months, right? If my math is correct, or five, three, four, five, six, seven. Maybe it's 5 months. Try it for 4 or 5 months. Maybe you say, well, I tried it for a week and it didn't work. Well, you may have to prime the pump a little more than that. Amen. Try it for 4 or 5 months and just see. And just see. That's what God said to prove him. Amen. Isn't that? All right. So anyway, so we get down to verse 10. And so they start doing that. They joyfully brought in, it says, the tithes of everything. And in verse number 10, it says, and Azariah, the chief priest. So Hezekiah comes and he sees these heaps. All these heaps of goods. All these heaps of the produce of the land. and the things that they've brought in. They're just walking through. There's this big area where there's this stuff heaped up. And the king's looking around and saying, golly, what is all of this? And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. And so the work of God was being funded, not just barely, not just scraping by, but they said, you know, we've got enough and we've got plenty left. We've got enough to where we don't have to worry about going back to our field and working our field. We can just stay right here and we can fulfill the ministry of the work of God here in the temple and carry that out. The priests and the Levites are able to do that. We can focus on that. We've got enough to eat and we have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people. He didn't just say the Lord's blessed us. He's blessed his people. When the people started obeying and started putting God's things first, God's blessings started pouring out on them. And all of a sudden that 10%, instead of being this much, was this much. Because they got blessed. The people did. And what is left, he says, is this great abundance. See, when we follow God's plan, when we do it God's way, the end result will be great abundance. Because He is a God of abundance. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. This is out of the Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Come to you how? In abundance. That's the only way He knows how to do it, folks. That is the only way He knows how to operate. Is with abundance. I'm convinced of that. Amen. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance. God wants to furnish you in abundance. Amen. God wants to meet your needs in an abundant measure. And furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. What does he say? That you've got more than what you need and you've got to start finding places to give it away. You've got to start finding people that you can bless and give to and give it away. Hallelujah. That's God's intended plan for each one of us. For each one of us. Amen? Let's pray.